Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
Hi, this is Dave Rowntree, co-author of the soon-to-be-released Demon Street USA, author of Paranormal Technology, an all-around science geek in the paranormal. And when I'm not doing anything, I sit around and chuckle to the antics of the Mallard Report.
The opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
The Mallard Report. Tonight's sponsor is Spectrum Light, some of the best IR boosters available. Works wonderfully well with Sony Nightshot cameras. Visit SpectrumState.com or sign up for my newsletter, and I'm going to tell you again next week how to save money with your Spectrum Lights. But I told you today that we're doing giveaways, and we'll get to that here before long. But follow Spectrum State at AU Paranormal. Moment of unabashed truth, of course. I always like to start this way. Tonight's show is a little off topic. My guest tonight is a little off kilter too. So if the chances of you being offended tonight, if you're easily offendable, are high. There's the best way to clean that up in a hurry. So just be warned and be ready. My guest tonight, the world famous, can I say that? I just did. The world famous author, USA Today best-selling author, C.L. Parker. Been on the show. What did we decide? How many times did we decide today? Four? This will be your fourth time?
Fourth.
And it's been over a year since you've been on, so somebody's been hiding you under something. So what's That's new? Difficult. What's new?
What's new? With me?
Yes.
Everything. I have a new series that I'm working on. Let's see, it's been a year, so
I think it was January 2013, so it's been almost two.
Oh, wow. So then that means what's happened then since then is I've had a whole new series come out, The Million Dollar Duet. So that was two books, and both of those books have now been released. And they went, well, you know, the second one at least went USA Today best-selling. And they're both nationally and internationally published. So though I don't know, it's debatable whether or not I'm world famous. I'm going to take that because I like the way that sounds.
Because A, I said it, and B, when you get published internationally in different languages, it kind of tells me you're, well, maybe not everybody. It's not like the Bible. They're not that much in print yet, but they're out there.
I did not understand anything that you just said because for some reason it's cutting out.
Well, we'll start all over then. I was just saying, basically, you're world famous because they print it in different languages.
That's right. And the covers are beautiful and, like, really sexy because in places like Italy and Russia, like, Russia has, like, a half-nudie pic inside the book. Like, that's really great. They just really, you know, France, they're just sexy covers.
So are you?
I think Italy's even in, like, a second edition, second print, second edition on the first book. Italy's really loving the duet.
So wait a second. So you're saying the most racy cover isn't in America?
No. No, not at all. But in America, you know, the covers that they're doing, they do objects. Like the Dirty Secret is a diamond, and then on Guilty Pleasures it's a string of pearls. And that's because, you know, the kind of the theme running there is that diamonds may be a girl's best friend, but pearls are so much more fun. But for whatever reason, you know, the the house moms, housewives, or whatever, don't want to read a book that has a cover where other moms might know the type of thing that they're reading, and so they just do an object on the front of it so that it's not going to offend anyone or give away what they're actually reading. Though I would think that the title itself would do that. You know, A Million Dirty Secrets and A Million Guilty Pleasures kind of alludes to the romance, the erotic romance part of it.
So that's interesting how the marketing. You're talking international to me. See, that's why I'm good to go. And with ebooks, it could seriously be anywhere.
Yes, and that's why, you know, books are really trending toward, you know, probably. You know, I sell half as many in paperbacks as I do in ebooks. It's just trending that, I mean, you can carry, you know, on an e-reader now, you can carry so many books with you at the same time, and you don't have to worry about everyone around you knowing what you're reading because you just have an e-reader, and they're cheaper. So the trend is that, you know, a lot of these are going, you know, a lot of people prefer to buy the e-books, but you still have, you know, the diehards like myself who want the paperback or the hardcover, you know, to have in their hands or on their shelf. I keep those for all of my favorite stop, drop, and read authors.
Well, I think we've had this discussion before. There's something to an author, at least, that is still the attachment, for the lack of a better word, to the actual paper book. They want to see their name on the binding of the book.
Well, of course. There's that.
I mean, just for you. I'm not talking about all the readers. I'm talking just to you.
Yeah, for me, of course I want to see it on that. But, I mean, you know, there, it's so much easier. It's a lot easier now for authors to self-publish. And so they still get to see their name on a paperback, even though it might cost, you know, the reader more money when you're self-publishing than a traditional, you know, house. But, you know, and then there are a lot that just do ebooks.
Right, and you were... Well, this is one of the first things you were talking about, helping and
aspiring authors.
I just had a total brain cramp when I started down this road, and I wanted to use the nice big frilly word, and then
well,
I just
tell you, like, you know how bad it is for when you're an author and that happens to you, because you know that the person that you're talking to is so judging you because you're a wordsmith and you don't know the word that you want to use.
But you were talking about helping, an aspiring author out. Because I remember the first time we talked, and I think that's where you were still. I mean, you had a couple books out, but it was still, you were still looking up at Mount
All
Everest.
Pred. Right.
So, how are you giving that away? How do you want to do that?
How to the actual giveaway on that?
Yeah.
What I am proposing, if anyone wants to talk to me, is to give away a brainstorming chat session live with me. Basically, you know, you could do it for an aspiring author, or anyone really can enter to be chosen for this. And it's just a live chat session with me. We could talk about whatever you want. You know, for aspiring authors, if you have an idea for a book, or you're writing it and you're stuck and maybe you want some help, you know, with the plot development, or you want to talk about what the publishing process is like in both small press and traditional publishing, what my experience was in getting an agent and an editor, what the editorial process is like with that. If you want love advice from yours truly, or you just want to shoot the shit, then, you know, I'm more than glad to throw that out there, because I love talking to readers, listeners, or someone who think they might be interested in talking to me, and no subject is ever off limits, though I should probably say that some might be pushing the line a little bit.
Well, like I said, if they're easily offended, you might want to take a pass on that.
Right. I'll behave myself to the best of my ability. How about that?
And I'll do you. I'll add to your first giveaway. And how are people going to get this then?
I thought you were going to figure that out.
Oh, I thought I was. Okay. Well, we'll just send me a message on Facebook.
A way for people to. Why don't we just do that?
Yeah, send me an email at italkparanormal.com, and then you know what? I'll hook you up with CL. And once your work, your literary wonderful thing, is done with CL, and you get it all cleaned up and ready to go, I'll bring you on the show. So that's a two-for-one special.
Go. Look at that. You guys get to be on line with Duck Boy.
And trust me, there is a line of people who would are like saying, that's how easy it is to get a spot on this show. No, it's not exactly that easy, but I figure...
No, it's not that easy because he cancels me and reschedules me and cancels me and reschedules me. Like, I really have to, like, call him and beg him to be on the show.
It's been, like I said, it's been since January. And you're one of my, you're like one of my go-to interview people. So what does that tell you?
I think it's like, I have an empty slot. Let's call CL.
Well, you know, it does happen. And you know what? That's what I'm saying. You're one of my go-to people. I know that you'll come on and I know that you can fill the hour.
Because I talk a lot.
Well, I'm applying that, I guess, yes.
I think it's because you and I can just talk about anything, and it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's where we're headed here in a few minutes, I'm sure.
At least us, it's going to be somewhat entertaining, right?
Well, entertaining for us. I don't know about everybody else.
Right.
Okay, so we kind of talked about the internationalism of it, but tell me a little bit more about the duet. What's this? I mean, obviously, you don't want to give it all away. But there's two books, too.
With the Million Dollar Duet, it's a two-book series, and it's complete there. I still am asked daily from readers whether or not I'm going to do any more with that because it really took off. But basically what the duet is about is a young girl whose name is Lainey, and her mother needs a heart transplant, and the family cannot afford it. You know, her father has lost his job because he is so diehard to his wife that, you know, he's stayed home and taken care of her. So therefore, they don't have any insurance either. She needs the heart transplant, and she's not going to get that heart transplant unless they can afford to pay for it. So what Lainey does is a very selfish, selfless, I should say, thing. And that is that she realizes that one thing about her is very valuable to a lot of men who can afford to pay a high dollar price for it, and that is her virginity. So she puts herself up on the auction block to be auctioned off to the highest bidder. It's kind of like the whole... scene, actually what inspired it was the scene at the end of Taken, the movie Taken, where the little girl, a daughter or whatever, is put up on auction block. So basically she's purchased by a multi-billionaire who is young and gorgeous, and she is really thankful when she sees this at the end of the auction because she can't even see his face during it. And his name is Noah Crawford. And Noah is in the market to buy a virgin because he's a man who has needs, obviously. But, you know, there are a bunch of gold-digging women out there who, you know, are going to want to take him for his money. He doesn't want the emotional attachment. He doesn't want to have to deal with the bullshit, the extra bullshit that comes along with having a relationship. But, you know, he wants to get his rocks off. So that's why Noah is there to purchase her. One thing leads to another, and, you know, the rest is history. But I'll tell you what, the duet was actually my smut outlet while I was writing the Supernova saga that I first came out with, which was the paranormal romance. That's how Duck Boy and I got introduced, by the way, because there was something paranormal about it.
Yeah, at one time. But now it's just paranormal because it's not normal, what we talk about.
It's not normal, right? I don't know. It could be normal. You never know.
Well, for some people, I'm sure it is.
Maybe I've done that before, but it was my smut outlet. So every single chapter, there is sex, sometimes multiple times in a chapter. So I recommend that you read one chapter at a time. And ladies, you might want to just mark your favorite scenes with sticky notes and number them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then when you're booze come in for the day or whatever, then, you know, you can do the whole, hi, honey, how was your day? And then, you know, right then, we're going to do number three tonight. You study up on that while I go and fix dinner. I forgot it for them. I promise you, they'll be grateful for it. Men don't know what they're doing.
And look,
unless they're fictional men in a book.
And I've said this to you
before. Where a woman has written now.
I have said this to you before. I talk to paranormal investigators, the UFO people, the Bigfoot people, and I said this to you before. I'm going to say it again tonight. I hope that's not the only thing they like to do after dark. I just really do. I mean, you got to have other things that you do. Okay, anyways.
You do?
I do. I personally, anyways.
Really?
Yeah, see? So, okay.
Aww.
So I know. No, this show is not about me.
This is not your world, Ducky.
It isn't. So you have a new series coming out, which I have wrote down Monkey Business, but is that correct?
Well, the series is called The Monkey Business Trio.
Okay.
Isn't that a great name? I love it so much. Well, everything I do is like, I've got monkey on the brain now. Like, I'm buying monkey everything. Yes, it's called The Monkey Business Trio, and while there are still some elements of it that are a surprise because I haven't done an official reveal of the first cover or an introduction to the characters as of yet, I can tell you that I am so in love with these characters, and there's even a secondary character that I have fallen madly in love with just in the developing stage. And I cannot wait to write his story as well with this. But essentially what the Monkey Business Trio is about is two sports agents, a male and a female, and they work for the same company, and they're both competing for a partnership within their company. And in order to win that partnership, they have to sign this premier quarterback who's just become a free agent and has just dropped his sports agent as well. So there's a love triangle that develops there, and, you know, there are things, you know, these two sports agents, you know, they're competing not only inside the boardroom but also inside the bedroom. So, you know, there are things that happen there, and it's sexy, good, fun time, and a little funny, and a whole lot of there's drama that I didn't realize was going to happen, and I just really enjoyed writing the first book, even though I thought I was going to die before it was finished. But it did finish. It just needed the right person, I think, needed to come along in order to push me to that end.
So, what's the timeline? When are we going to find out the cover and all that other stuff? Since you
Well, the release date for, and this is going to be the first time that I've even said this publicly, but the release date for the first book will be May 12th, so in the spring of 2015. That's when it's going to be released. Now, as far as the cover reveal, I'm working with some of my people in my camp to do a little bit of a string along in revealing the main character's name, the alpha male's name, because let's face it, we women, that's the one that we're really interested in, is that alpha male and how sexy he is, and he is very sexy. And then I figured that we would probably do that leading up to the cover reveal, though honestly, I've already seen the cover out there on the net. I didn't have a say in that, but it's kind of ruining my game plan. But who cares? Let's play along anyway.
Well, who's to say it won't change between now and then, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, well, we'll just throw that out there. Just because, you know, stranger things have happened.
Right.
So I know you mentioned that you have some events coming up to me. Do you know them, or should we send them somewhere, send people somewhere to find out about them, or...
Actually, there is a list of events or my appearances or where I'm going to be on my website under the Appearances tab. And my website is, what is my website? clparkerofficial.com. So there's always a list there. I will be doing some events in the Kentucky area. And I'm also scheduled to do the RT, which is the Romantic Times Convention, that's going to be happening in Dallas in May. I'm actually traveling on my release day for the first book in Monkey Business. I'm going to be traveling the same day and trying to do, you know, hold my release day at the same time. So that's going to be tricky and exhausting, I'm sure. So I'll be in Dallas for that. That starts May 12th. I'm also thinking that I might sign up to do, hopefully I can get in to do the Orlando Book Bash this year, which happens in Orlando, Florida. I think it's the last Saturday of June that they're going to do it in 2015. So hopefully I can get in on that. And I could quite possibly be planning a trip to Vegas. Though I really don't know if I'm going to do the Vegas one or not, because that's going to happen the same time as the Book Bash. So it just depends. I don't know what I'm going to do there yet.
So you'll be somewhere.
I'll be somewhere all the time, even if it's right here.
Well, you got to be somewhere to be here.
Can you imagine a world without C.L. Parker? I'm just kidding. You're like, yes, I can. I will finally get sleep.
I was going to say, I have for the last, however long this has been, it was pretty good. No.
You're so mean to me.
I know. Somebody has to be mean to you.
I know.
So, anything else that I want to make sure we talk about before we get into this optical illusion of a game that we're going to play?
Regarding what I'm into?
Yeah,
what
anything that you want to throw out there before we get lost into the deep end of...
Yes. If you're listening out there and you have not already done so, please go to my Twitter account and my Facebook page. You know, go to my website and hit all the links where you can find me and do a follow, because those numbers matter. Maybe not to you, but to certain people they matter and they look good. And and I have things to say. Sometimes they're quite witty, I think, anyway, I've been told.
Well, that's all you can hope for.
Leave a review.
That's
everywhere that you can.
That is something I talk about with every author that I have on. It doesn't matter if it's a good review or a bad review. Just take 10 minutes and put one up. So, you know,
right.
The author takes stuff from either one. I know you'd rather have good reviews, but we can't. Not everybody likes you.
Honestly, who doesn't? Well, I'm just playing. The thing about it is that I quite honestly don't read reviews unless someone inboxes it to me, because there are mean people out there, and I really don't want to get my feelings hurt. I mean, these are my characters, these are my stories, and they are very real to me. I know that sounds insane, but I am in love with them, each and every single character that I write, for one reason or another. And so to see someone just be mean to them for the sake of being mean, it hurts. So, and I tell, you know, other aspiring authors or who are just starting out or whatever, don't read the reviews when they first came out. Like, don't do that. Let somebody else give you, you know, weed through it for you and show you those good reviews that are on, you know, if you have blogs, that's one thing. Those are professional people for the most part. And they're not going to bash you just for the sake of bashing you or, you know, dice up your characters. Like, I remember my first one-star review, I cried. I was at a convention in New York City, and I cried because this person was so mean to me. They were saying that, you know, my characters, they didn't even finish the book, that they read, like, the first 30 pages or something like that. I don't remember. And the reason that they didn't like it was because they said that all of my characters' names sounded like soap opera names. Well, yeah, it's a romance novel, so that typically happens. And how do you know that the book is bad if you don't even read it? It's just kind of like, I cried, and thank God my book bestie, Dorinda Jones, some of you may know her or whatever, she was there, and I cried on her shoulder, and of course she's more seasoned than me, so she just told me, stop reading that stuff, it's crazy. You know, the good reviews are awesome.
Yeah, I'll never forget you want my bad first bad review story, it's kind of shorter than yours, I didn't cry. But
well, I'm a chick. I cried. And I'm a Pisces, which means I'm very emotional. And I'm a romance author. So, yeah, put all that together, and you've got, like, this whole tornado of emotion. So I wear them on my sleeve.
It was a YouTube comment, so of course, you know, I'm just minding my own business, and somebody finally comments in one of my videos, and I get all excited because, you know, that doesn't happen every day. And I click it, and it says, "You are the worst host ever," in all capital
wow.
letters.
Wow. No reason behind that or anything?
That was it.
That
like
was it.
No.
That was really.
No. Nothing else. No punctuation, even. All capital letters, though.
Yeah. I mean, I have to really, if I read a book and I don't like it, for the most part, whatever, I honestly don't leave a review because I don't want to taint. It may have just not been for me. If I have something constructive to say, then I will leave that review. And I will say why I'm leaving the review that I am. And I think that what I'm saying is constructive, you know, criticism for the author or the whatever it is that I'm reviewing. Because I think that's important when you're just like, I hate you because you have brown hair, you know, or whatever. It's just ridiculous. You know, I hate you because of who you're published through or because I don't like this character's name. And I had a boyfriend who used to be named that before and I really, really hate him. Oh, okay. So thanks for that negative review for that purpose there.
So my question to you is at this point, do you read more or write more?
I write more. Definitely write more. As a matter of fact, because you know, I had a deadline November the 15th for the first book in the Monkey Business Trio, and I was dangerously close to not meeting that deadline, and I was under pressure. Like, I even took a trip to Maine so I could find myself so I can get away from it all, and really didn't accomplish much while I was there because I loved it so much. But this is true story. Dorinda Jones is a stop, drop, and read for me, and she had a book that just came out, which was Seventh Grave and Nobody, I think is what that one's called. And when it came in, I put it on the shelf in front of me, and that was my incentive of, I can't read this until I finish my own book. I've done the same thing with J.R. Ward. I know I want to stop, drop, and read with those, but I can't. I have my own work to do. The danger that you run into, and I know not all authors do, but I just don't want it, I don't want to become a victim of accidentally letting something that I've read from another author bleed into what I'm writing. And it wouldn't be anything that is on purpose, but I wouldn't want that to accidentally happen and go, oh my God, that is totally from J.R. Ward's book, you know, or Dorinda's book or whatever the case may be. And then once I pick up a book, I can't put it down until I'm done. So I am going to be completely distracted, probably until a day or two after, depending on, you know, how good the book is and how much it affected me. So I'm not getting any work done. I just have no restraint where that's concerned. Well, I'm very passionate about books.
At least you know it and can work around it.
Right.
So. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's hard. And it's just tough to keep the train separate, I'd imagine.
Well, yes, but then, you know, there's also the situation where, you know, we as, you know, authors and artists, and I've heard, you know, other authors have said the same thing, that I'm saying, we draw inspiration from everything around us. So it might be that we watch a television show and we get an idea about something, it sparks an idea about something, or a movie, or we hear a song. That's where we draw our inspiration. So it could also come from reading somebody else's book, and then you go, oh, you know what would be a good idea? This. And it's not that person's idea, but it may have sparked an idea. So if you cut yourself off from all of those things, it's kind of like a well that's going to run dry. I know that, you know, authors generally have an active imagination, probably an overactive imagination, and so we have this outlet to put it down. But you know, we need to keep up with what's trending, you know, what the current trends are. And, you know, it also helps me with even, you know, how I write things grammatically, dialogue cues, you know, to see how other authors do that. That's why we also, we gather in groups a lot and we have, you know, other authors or other writers or whatever that we buddy up to, because we need that support, because no one really understands an author like another author does. Probably the same thing with painters and, you know, musicians and paranormal people, you know, ghost.
No, paranormal people cut each other's back, stab each other in the back, cut each other's throat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Because they want to then go on a ghost hunt to find you.
Most, I'm not saying all of them. I mean, there are a few people out there that are genuine and, like you said, but there's a great number of people out there who look out for number one in the paranormal field.
Right. Well, I think that's, you know, everywhere you go. I mean, there are some authors that are like that, too. I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but...
Yes, you are.
Know,
what?
There are some authors out there who have forgotten how they got where they are, and it's not just by their mighty, mighty pen. It, you know, it has everything to do with the readers who have supported them and have, you know, spread the news about their books through, I mean, it's word of mouth. Word of mouth is what makes or breaks a book. It really and truly does. And it will be what propels something on the New York Times bestsellers list, that word of mouth, which is why I'm always preachy about tell somebody. If you liked the book, don't keep it to yourself. Tell somebody. You know, it's not necessarily they have to go and buy it so much. Just share it with them. You know, even the copy that you have, get the story out there because, it's word of mouth that launches it. But there are some authors who have become pretty big. And I understand that maybe they don't have as much time to interact with their readers. And I call them readers, not fans, but they're readers. But at some point, don't you at least try? You know, you definitely shouldn't, you know, make it so that or act as if they're non-existent. And I've seen that, and it's really sad. I hope I'd never get to that stage. I remember that there was this one reader after I went to a convention, and I came back and I had mentioned something about the convention, and she was on Facebook, and she said, "I rode in the elevator with you." And I felt terrible because I didn't recognize her name. And so I was putting myself out there, and I go, "Oh, my gosh, did we talk?" And she said, "Oh, no, I would never say anything to you." Well, why not? I'm a human, and I like to talk to people. I mean, I'm pretty sure I was probably talking while you were in the elevator with me. But she had ridden the elevator with me a couple of times and was even sitting on my same floor and never said anything to me because she didn't feel like she should do that because, you know, other authors seem unapproachable. I am so approachable. Like, I'm, like, begging for attention, obviously. Like, hello, can we talk? I want to talk about my books. I love these characters. I love the stories.
It's funny you mention authors because I came across one who is a megastar. There's no other ways to put it. I mean, he doesn't write in your genre, but if I said his name, everybody listening would know who I'm talking about if I said his name, but I'm not going to say his name for this reason. I sent him an email because I seen on a social media he never replied to anybody. But I took the time and sent him an email. And he says, "Not right now, but get back to me." And he gave me a time period. And we'll see if we can make it work then. Okay.
Well, there you go.
It was a two sentence email back. And that's why I'm like, you know, because I want to make it work. I mean, he'd stop the show. I mean, he stops traffic.
Right.
So, but that's just it. He took the five seconds to reply.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said he took the 5 seconds to reply.
Right.
I'll tell you off air who it is, and you'll be dumbfounded.
Well, you know, I have, you know, my official email address, and sometimes I forget to check, and I feel terrible. Because just recently I've been trying to play catch-up on that one because I was under the deadline, and so everything was shut down until I got deadline because that was the most important thing, and that's what feeds my family. So, and I just went and checked it, you know, and was trying to play catch-up with it today, as a matter of fact, and I see, you know, all these emails from readers, and I respond to every single one of them, and that's because if it wasn't for that reader buying my book, you know, they would be pulled off the shelves and, you know, Random House, you know, who I'm so blessed to have, they wouldn't buy more of my books, you know, and put more of my books out there. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to continue to do that and interact with readers. I respond to each and every one of them. And it's amazing to me. I'm really dumbfounded by the amount of people who come back and go, "Oh, wow, wasn't expecting a response." Like, I've emailed authors before and never got anything. I truly just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your book. I wasn't expecting anything back. I've had people that have emailed me and said, you know, they've asked for some writing advice. Now, if it's something that's going to require me, unless I have a free day, if it's something that's going to, you know, one thing I can't do, and I hope everyone would understand, is I've also had people ask me to critique their writing. They want to send me their entire manuscript, and I simply don't have the time for that. It's not that I'm being uppity or I don't want to help them or anything. I just simply don't have the time to read. Because when I look at somebody's work, I'm going to be honest with them, and I am going to be in depth with my comments. And, you know, when I'm trying, I've got back-to-back deadlines. I don't have the time to do that. But I have had people asking for advice, and, you know, I'll give them writing advice. And a lot of the authors that I know that, you know, are my friends would do the same thing.
Right.
Because we were all where they are now at some point, you know, at one time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Don't forget where you came.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what killed me. Okay, so, boy, we've only got about 20 minutes left. Can you believe that?
See, I'm a talker.
So, okay. So, we're promising this little game. See, I don't normally play games on my show, but I figured, because people asked me if I was going to do something for the holiday, for Christmas, whichever, and I said no. But I figured I'd throw them a bone, because a lot of people asked me. I was surprised at how many people asked me, actually. So, I came up with this half-witted game that me and CL, one of us is going to throw a name out there, and then we'll debate a gift idea or two, and see what we can come up with. And then, via CL's page, see, now I figured this one out already, on her Facebook page later tonight or tomorrow sometime. I don't know when she's going to post it, because we haven't worked this part out yet. She's going to post one of these people, and you're going to get your opportunity to post a gift that you would give them. Humorous, serious, whichever. And I think CL's going to pick somebody, and I'm going to pick a couple people, and we're going to just give stuff away to them. Is that what the plan was?
Yeah, that sounds great.
So you got to go over and like CL Parker's author page on Facebook, because that's where this is all going down. So make sure you click like. She wanted people to do that. So here's how we're going to do that tonight. And I'll share the link from my Facebook page once we're done on the air, because I don't want to be clicking buttons trying to do this while we're live and stuff. But
right.
It'll be in the podcast, and you'll find the link if you can find the show. But so I think the we're going to tell people who we picked, or we want them together and see who we picked.
I'm sorry, say that last part one more time.
Are we going to tell people who we picked, or are we just going to wait and make them go look at the post?
You mean, who the celebrity that we want to do?
The Facebook celebrity we picked. Well, I picked.
Oh, okay. Either way, it was fine with me. I think we should just go ahead and tell them now, so they can kind of go ahead and get their little wicked minds moving on what they want to get this person, or what they would give this person.
Yeah, money's not a real option. I mean, because most of these people we're going to talk about have all the money in the world. Anyways, so you can have all the money in the world, too, and give them something great.
The thing about it is that, you know, most of these people, what they need, money can't buy anyway.
That's where we're headed. Our our person for Facebook is Oprah Winfrey. She's got her own TV network, was a mega TV star magazine. So it'll be tough to get her something. But I'm sure somebody out there will get her something good and get some free. You're giving books away? I read that right?
I will do a signed copy of the duet, the Million Dollar Duet. So A Million Dirty Secrets, A Million Guilty Pleasures. Be great, fantastic, I think, Christmas gift. I also have some of my Flyest gear in case, and because I get the question, at least I used to, but just in case there are still people out there that don't know what the Flyest means, it's kind of a CL Parker signature thing. Flyest just stands for fucking love you and shit, so it's kind of a cute way to say something foul without being foul. And actually, the Flyest gear is the one thing, like people, you know, when I have releases and it's like you could have, you know, a book or this, they always go for the Flyest gear. And I'm kind of like, really? You don't want to read my book? But okay. But so it's kind of a big seller where I even had people say, hey, are you going to open up, you know, a shop to give away flyers or to sell, you know, flyers gear, and I did that. But I have T-shirts, and I have flyers ink pen notebook that I'm going to also give away.
And I see my giveaway is mild compared to yours. I've got some fun little stickers and postcards, and I actually take time to write people notes when I give them stuff away. So
I write people notes.
I know, too. I know, but I'm just saying that's my give. I don't, because you know I'm a radio guy, so I don't have a book to give away or anything. So
I actually had someone from the UK who has given away you know the set for Christmas to his sister. It's a really gorgeous guy. Gorgeous cover model, and he asked me, I just had to throw that out there, right? He asked me if I could send, you know, a signed photograph or something like that so that he can include it with the gift. He bought the books for his mother last year, his mother now reading this, and then he got it for his sister this year. And so I was like, really? People want a headshot picture of me? Like, that's cute. I happened to have some. I was like, really? I had some because my mom said that I should get copies of it. My mom really thinks that everyone is just clamoring to have something from me, which was such a mom thing to do. So I actually had, you know, she had ordered a couple of these headshots, and I had some laying around here. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I can send that to you. There's a giant poster of my face that I am looking at right now because at a release party, my mom had it, you know, framed and at this release party, and then she had me autograph this, and she goes, somebody's going to want that. Well, that was like forever ago. It's still sitting here. Nobody's going to want that.
Well,
she's so funny.
Somebody will someday, post-mortem probably.
It'll probably be like my kids going, oh, look at my mom.
Yeah, and
they
won't
want it.
They'll be like, we could probably put that on eBay and make $5. Let's do that.
One of my stalkers probably, but God knows what they'd be doing with it. Like, I have stalkers.
Well, anyways, let's not get it. Let's not spend
no,
down that road.
You when you have stalkers.
Yeah, well, I don't. That's good. So I haven't made it.
I'll stalk you.
You do stalk me. That's the problem. So I think I sent you a list of, what was it? 8 names or something like that this afternoon, and there was only one that really caught your attention. So since we're running out of time, and I think this one will be probably the most controversial one on the list I sent you anyways, let's go there. Sound good?
Sounds great.
So what would you give Miley Cyrus?
Oh, you actually want me to answer that? Oh, Miley Cyrus. Miley. I would probably give Miley a sense of shame because I don't think she has any. I mean, she has no sense of shame whatsoever.
Well, she grew up in a house with the Boot Scoot and Boogie. I mean, you can't really be too embarrassed about anything then, right?
But you, listen, I actually like some of Miley's songs. I really and truly do. Some of the newer stuff, not even her kid stuff. I think what Miley did was Miley was so gung-ho of getting rid of this, you know, little girl image that she went way overboard. And, you know, the only way that a lot of these celebrities can make a name for themselves is to be shocking. And she just really did. I mean, you know, drugs, you know, just, I mean, everything, just looking disgusting. I mean, like, when you really run yourself down in order to be shocking and to gain attention or whatever, I mean, that's so desperate. That's like cries for desperation. And she's not ashamed of it in the least bit.
See, I can ask you that, and then I can follow you up with this question, because this is right down your alley. There's a difference between being sexy and being a slut.
Yes.
That's not even a question, I guess. That's more of a statement. Where was the question in that? Dang it. Anyways.
Well, I don't really think that a slut is sexy.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference.
Right. There's a huge difference in that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Miley is sleeping with everyone. She just is being raunchy for the sake of being raunchy, just for the shock and awe and to have her name on everybody's lips. And guess what? It worked. It really did, because what ends up happening, and this has even happened in the literary world, the more people are talking about it, the more people are going to want to see. It's kind of like that rubberneck effect. You know, the more people are going to see what everybody is talking about. So then the next person talks about it, and the next person talks about it, and before you know it, you know, you have all this fame that's attached to it. There is a particular series out there that everyone was talking about how can I say this without getting myself in trouble, how bad it was. And sometimes when you talk about how bad it is, then you have other people that go, oh, really, it's that bad? Let me buy it and read it and look at it and see for myself how bad it is. Well, you've just, you know, launched the numbers. You've just pushed the numbers up. You've done that person a favor that everyone, quote, unquote, doesn't like, you know. Same thing with, you know, in the music industry and, you know, with Miley and the whole shock thing, the more outrageous you are, the more people are going to talk about you, and it launches, you know, your fandom. So now you have sponsors who want you because everyone's talking about you.
Right. So you're giving her a sense of shame. So now I guess it's my turn to figure out what I'm going to give her. And I got it. This is going to be kind of weird, but you're going to have to follow me for a minute. I'm going to give her, I'm going to give her the talent she thinks she has. That way she doesn't have to do all this other stuff.
You know what? That's great. That is a great. I actually think that she's talented, though.
I know, but I think she had just enough. I mean, it's just enough to be right in that fringe where you don't want to be as an artist. You want to be either great, you know, like superstar great, or because if you get left in that middle, that B, C range, you're not. I mean, you can make a living doing that, but you're not going to be who you think you should be. Or who you were because of it being a child star. When she was a child star, she was that A-list child star. So to live up to that billing as an adult, you have to be a train wreck. Because I don't think she has that A-list talent as an adult singer.
But, you know, she was doing the outrageous acts or whatever when she had, you know, this last album out. And the songs on the album itself are good songs. They were enough to do it for her, but it really, like, she just wasn't satisfied with that. In my opinion, I don't think she was satisfied with that. And somebody's coaching her. That wasn't all from her, you know, to really launch it, you know, even further, like, push it even further. But, you know, then you have, you know, the whole Robin Thicke thing as a fallout and his divorce, you know, that came from, you know, how outrageous that Miley's been. I mean, it's not a victimless thing. You know, there were other people that were involved and, though they have made their own choices to participate and are therefore, you know, suffering the consequences from that, it's amazing to me that we, as a society, we complain about, you know, how disgusting of an act this is, but it's us that is, you know, because of that disgusting act or whatever that's propelling them. We're just proving that it works.
Yes, we always.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, you have a child who acts out, and so we've learned that if you ignore that child, eventually they stop acting out. But we're never going to do that because there are always going to be people, you know, the gossip hounds or whatever, they're always going to want to talk about what's happening in Hollywood with this famous person and that famous person. It's high school all over again. And so it's going to be an endless cycle on it.
Right, and that's just it. Because if the first sensational stunt doesn't work, they'll pull another one, and they'll draw you right back in. Because even if you try to avoid the first one, that second one, you know you've got to look, because you got to see what the world's going on, because it's just going to heck in a handbasket.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with that one. So let's see. I think this next one, maybe here. Well, not probably not your movie, but maybe. I could be wrong about this. So don't throw yourself under the bus here. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Because the next name is Steven Spielberg. I mean, he could direct one of your books at some point. So let's not have them Google search this and find out that you threw him under the bus because you said something.
Oh, probably. I wouldn't anyway. I don't have anything against Steven Spielberg in the least bit. I mean, honestly, Steven Spielberg has done some really awesome movies, and to have, I mean, everyone's going to, if my books were ever turned into movies, please, but if that were to ever happen, then, you know, to have Steven Spielberg's name attached to it, that's just like instant success, pretty
so,
much.
So is that your gift to him, one of your books?
Yes. Let's do that. He probably would look at it and be like, yeah, I don't write adult movies.
Well, but you know, get down to that last, you know, the end of the career, it gets a little out there and wants to try something different. You never know.
Are you trying to say Steven Spielberg needs to be desperate in order to make one of my books have a movie?
No, I'm just saying that he might be looking for a new challenge, you know, because he's kind of done everything else.
Well, you never know. I mean,
that's the way I'm taking it.
My Supernova Saga would be an awesome movie series. The duet would be a great romance, I think. Monkey Business is, when you guys get to read Monkey Business, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. There's so much potential for that, in my opinion anyway. My pre-readers think so also.
Well, that's a good thing, though. I mean, I think that's where you, I mean, I think we've had this conversation before. That's where you want to be. I mean, indirectly, obviously you want to write books, but.
Well, but, you know, that's a double-edged sword, too, because then, you know, once you, you know, sell those rights to that, unless you have it written into your contracting, you better be making some damn good sales in order to be able to make these demands or whatever. We don't have any control over that. It, you know, it then goes to, you know, that movie studio, and they can take what I've written and, you know, just kind of take in the idea of it and completely change it. And it just be the title that they're using and just trying to get, you know, the fan base off of the books themselves to pull in, you know, the box office numbers.
That's completely outrageous. them twisting books for movies, that's completely outrageous. That never happens.
Yeah, no, that would never happen. But it could happen. And then you see, like, these characters that you love and you're like, you know, Noah would never say that. Noah would never do that. And then, you know, suddenly he is. I mean, all of a sudden, Noah's a completely different character, and he's a douchebag or whatever. And, you know, you have to sit there and watch it because you sold them. You know, it's like for the almighty dollar. You know, how far is too far?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. That's a whole other show, though, how far is too far.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I think we know with me, it's never too far.
Okay, so before we run out of time, because we're headed that way in a hurry, website again, and go ahead, give me the website again.
My website is clparkerofficial.com.
And if people want a writing consultation, is that a good word for it?
Sure.
Okay, see, I'm making stuff up on the fly. This is all good. With CL, just email me at italkparanormal@gmail.com, and I'll forward them or filter them as needed for my lovely guest tonight. So, and don't
right.
forget, and don't
we can we can raffle copter it if you want.
Well, we'll see how many we get. If we need to, we can.
Sure.
And the other thing is, be sure to go over and like CL Parker's Facebook page, because that's where our contest is going to be, with books and stuff from me and swag from her, and just, it's like we're blowing stuff out tonight. Okay.
Right. So are we just going to do let them comment on the
yeah we're
going to
let
of
yeah we'll let them comment on the post that you make about the giving the gift to Oprah, and then we'll sit back and let them come in throughout the week, because people listen until the next show comes out, and then we'll figure out who we like more than and who we don't.
You want to do a drawing next Tuesday, and then you can announce it on air? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah. So get it in there before then. Spectrum Light, best IR boosters available, work wonderfully well with Sony Nightshot cameras. Visit spectrumstate.com or follow them on Twitter at AU Paranormal. Had to get that in, you know, speaking of sponsors and getting paid.
Why, sure.
So I'm going to wrap this with my final thought. Hang out with me, because I want to talk to you for another minute, because your voice sounds good still. See? You made it this far.
Yay!
My final thought for the night is the best gift we can give. This is going to sound really cheesy, but it's not love. It's respect for everybody. It's just respect. You don't have to love everybody. You don't even have to love yourself. Just respect people enough to disagree with them and not hate them and bash them and just tear them apart on social media or anything else in public. You can disagree with somebody and walk away and say, eh, I don't like them. You don't have to blow up their page with hate and all this other bullcrap. Just take a few minutes and say, eh, be a bigger person. Because you know what? At the end of the day, all you're doing is wasting your own time. You may think you're getting back at them by posting all this crap on their page. Yeah, you're not. So just respect them and know when to walk away. That's the best gift you can give anyone, the best gift you can give yourself. There it is, gang. Almost all of my final thought for tonight. I look at my little clock and I have a little more time, so I'm going to take it. And once you get past, you know, it's so easy to get wrapped up in what other people are saying about you. Trust me, I do it. I read reviews, I read comments, snide, snippy, no good, whatever. I really don't care. And you shouldn't either. And as like CL said, the first bad review crushed her. And then now she's learned to move past it. And that's what we all have to do. It's all the process of learning who you are and being comfortable with what you're putting out there to the world. Be it a book or a radio show or whatever it is. It is what it is. You put it out there. You believed enough to put it out there. So trust that it's good. Because it is. Because you believed enough to take the time to put it together. And Dr. Phil will be calling in any minute now to critique my critique of what people should be doing. No, I hope not, because the show's all effectively over. So if Dr. Phil wants to call in, he'll have to do it on somebody else's time. But don't forget to email me at italkparanormal@gmail.com to talk to CL about it. If you're an aspiring author, there's nobody better to talk to because she's seen both sides of this envelope or coin, whatever it is. But either way, I think it'll be a good time. And like I said, I'll bring you on the show once your stuff's done. Yep, there we go. Stop that and...
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com. That's italkparanormal.com. Good night.
It's the Paranormal Show. The fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. The Paranormal Show. The fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. Brought to you by the Mallard Report. Visit TMR247.com to hear more.
Get connected with Take 2 Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take 2 Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.